Well, good morning, church. I'm glad you're here to join us for our second of our live broadcasts on Facebook here. As we get started this morning, I want you to know how much you're missed here in the sanctuary. As I look across the sanctuary and see all the empty chairs, it makes me wonder, did the rapture come and I missed it? But then I'm comforted by the fact that Dylan and Danan and Pastor Steve are still here, so we'll just go forward with the broadcast today. Normally, this would be a time in which we would be lifting up our voices together in worship of the Lord, celebrating through song, and we would be spending some time praying together for one another. But as I do look across the sanctuary in my mind's eye, I envision where many of you are sitting and or would be sitting, and brings my heart to the throne of grace, praying for your health and your safety during this time of pandemic. As I look at each section, I'm spurred to think about your family and trust that you are being safe and taking the precautions you need to stay healthy. So let's begin today by praying together for our country and for our community and for the health of our congregation. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity that we could gather together in this means on Facebook Live. And as people are tuning in, we just ask, Lord, your blessing upon them. It's our intent to come and honor you with the teaching of your word. And so we pray that in the delivery of what is said, that you would impart the words that need to be spoken. And for each that is listening, that you would help them to hear that which you would have for them that would be beneficial to their walk with you and an encouragement during this time of need. We pray for our country and those that are making the decisions above us, that you would give them wisdom and insight and understanding. We pray for those in our local community that you would also give them wisdom and that you would protect the health of our community. And we'll give you the honor and glory for all of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, prior to this pandemic, when we were still meeting face to face, we began a study on the names of God as used in the Old Testament. Names used for God in the Old Testament were like descriptive titles given to reveal God's attributes and character and nature. The names of God were a method God used to introduce himself to us, introduce himself to humanity, and a means by which he would inform us of who and what he is. It is important for us to remember, apart from God revealing himself to us, that we would be without specific knowledge and understanding of who and what he is. Therefore, the names of God reveal to us the sovereignty of God and helps us to understand and identify who God is, that he is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, holy, and just. The names of God also unveil to us things about God's nature and about God's character. The names of God help move our understanding of God from one of being sheer anonymity and mystery to bringing us into a personal understanding and personal intimacy with God. As we study the who and what God is, and in his sovereign being, we must recognize that God lives in a whole different dimension than we do. We must remember God is not limited to the laws that govern our existence. And therefore, much of what we learn about God's attributes and character and nature are simply out of this world concepts. And in many cases, aspects of God's attributes are far beyond our imagination and comprehension and understanding. Think about it in this way. If God were simply like us, limited to the sphere in which we live, limited to the boundaries of our humanity, why would we call him God? So as we study the names of God, which are titles for God, they will help us to discover aspects of God's attributes, nature, and character, things that would otherwise be unknowable to us. By way of quick review, in our study of God over the past several weeks, we have looked first at the cosmological and anthropological arguments for God's existence. Second, we identified that there are three primary titles used for God in the Old Testament. Elohim, which when we look at our Old Testament, is spelled with a capital G followed by lowercase o and D. That is the term Elohim being translated from the Hebrew. The second primary name, Jehovah, is spelled in all capital letters, the term Lord and God. And then finally, there is Adonai, where Adonai is spelled with the uppercase L and lowercases O-R-D. So we see that there are three primary names of God. We have spent 3 weeks discussing the primary names of Elohim used for God in the Old Testament. We identified the meaning of the Old Testament name Elohim as defining God as one of highest strength, the strongest of strong ones. And because God is the one of highest strength, there is no one and nothing greater or mightier than God. We should therefore then stand in awe and fear of God, respecting and honoring His power and strength. Second, we should recognize that because God Elohim is the one of highest strength, that He is the most faithful one. God is the most faithful one because of His omnipotence. God is the one of highest strength, is able to deliver on every promise He has made. He is able to fulfill every covenant that He has established, and He is able to follow through on every judgment He has sworn to make. Nothing can stop Him from doing what He says He will do. In short, Elohim is the sovereign creator, the all-powerful God. To gain a good understanding of God's power, simply read through the book or the chapter Genesis 1 and see what God has done. For more information on the cosmological, anthropological argument, feel free to tune into our website and see there those messages. Now, before we move to our next topic, as we face this pandemic, I want you to be encouraged as Christ followers that we face this pandemic under shelter of the arms of God. We face this pandemic with Elohim, the strongest of strong ones, the one of highest strength walking with us. Now, in saying this, I don't mean that Elohim is simply going to put a stop to this pandemic. And it doesn't mean that God will necessarily spare us personally from the consequences and impact of the virus. Church, as believers, we live in a fallen world. And a fallen world has its consequences. However, what I can promise you is this. Elohim will not allow anything or any tragedy to come into your life that He won't carry you through it. God will provide for you and your family every necessary resource to walk through each day, no matter what that day holds. For God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Therefore, there is never a struggle, never a trial, never an illness, never a battle we will face that Elohim is not on our side and there to be our strength. Elohim, the most faithful one, is your heavenly Father. Trust in Him in the good days and trust in Him in the difficult days as well. So let me ask you this question. Are you connected to Elohim? Or is your fear of the virus greater than your faith in the strongest of strong ones? I think it's safe to say none of us wants to go through this virus. None of us wants the restrictions put on our lifestyle because of the pandemic threat. None of us want there to be an economic threat to our financial security. However, I am elated for the words from Psalms 23, 1 through 6. These are old familiar words. In many ways, these words represent the foundation of our faith. These are words that are lovely and poetic, filled with many comforting thoughts. The question, though, is this. As we face the pandemic, is God still your shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this is a good time to pause and ask, is the Lord your shepherd? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you put your faith in the Lord who sacrificed his life to wash away your sin? Why not invite Christ into your life if you've never done that before? Why not declare Jesus Christ to be your great shepherd and embrace him as your Lord? So, church, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, do we fear no evil because the rod and the staff are in our shepherd's hand? Remember who the Lord is. He spoke the world into existence, and there is no virus greater than he. Many times, Psalms 23 has been quoted as a theory in how we live life in the days of calm and peace, and how pleasant that is. But right now, in the 21st century, we are facing a moment of, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Today, as we face the virus, do we find peace in the Lord? Or is our spirit controlled by anxiety and fear? Yeah, we're in difficult days, scary days. But who is greater than our shepherd? Can we not still lay our head down at night in the green pastures that the shepherd has prepared? Can we not indeed continue to rest by the quiet waters, for he is our God? The virus may be bigger than the smartest people in the world, and I appreciate the time and effort and sacrifices they are making on our behalf, but ultimately, our trust is in God. He is our shepherd, and it is in him that we rest. So now for the rest of the morning, we're shifting our focus to the second primary name used for God in the Old Testament, Jehovah. Jehovah, translated as God our Lord. In studying the name Jehovah, there are at least three major character attributes that stand out concerning the attributes, nature, and character of God. Number one, when we think of Jehovah, we can think of God as being self-existent. Self-existent. Number two, when we think of the name Jehovah, we think of God as being eternal. And number three, when we think of the name Jehovah, we can think of God as being holy. Now, in the Hebrew scriptures, the name Jehovah is recorded also as Yahweh and is translated as Jehovah. Therefore, in properly understanding the primary names for God in the Old Testament, Jehovah and Yahweh are considered equivalent or interchangeable terms, synonymous in meaning, for they translate the same Hebrew concept. Jehovah Yahweh is the most common name used for God in the Bible. The main emphasis of the name Jehovah Yahweh is the idea of God's being. That is, God is self-existent. Now you might think, why is God's self-existence important to me? It might seem like an insignificant or unimportant idea. But let's talk about this for a moment. God being self-existent means God needs nothing to sustain himself. He stands alone from needing anything to exist. Here we see a major difference between mankind and God. Think about this. In order for you and I to live, to exist, we need air to breathe. We need food to eat. We need a heartbeat. We need water. We need brain function and so on to live. Without these things, you and I no longer exist in physical form. However, God is not dependent upon any of these things or anything else to exist. God does not need anything to be. Practically speaking, this means that no one can kill God. God cannot die. God is eternal. No one, nothing, no event, no plot of the devil can stop God from existing because God is self-existent. And in his self-existence, he is self-sufficient. And in his self-sufficiency, he is the all-powerful Elohim. Now, this is a good thing for us to understand and know. Remember, it is God who has promised to us everlasting life. God, as the self-existent one, has the ability to promise to us everlasting life because God is self-existent. And because he is self-existent, he is eternal. He is eternal. And if there were any chance that God could die, or if there were any chance that God would ever cease to exist, our eternity would be in jeopardy. But because our eternity is held in the hands of the God that is self-existent, our salvation is secure forever. Indeed, being self-existent for eternity is an out-of-this-world human experience. Again, we need things to exist. And we are also threatened by such things as a virus. However, God is dependent upon nothing, and no virus or anything else can threaten his existence. The things that threaten our existence, like Wuhan virus or flu or cancer or heart disease or criminal behavior or an accident, they cannot threaten the existence of God. This is a supernatural thing. God is our Jehovah. He is Lord. Now, when I was in China in 1980, I visited the Memorial Hall of Chairman Mao, located in Tiananmen Square. Chairman Mao's Memorial Hall is a huge edifice with 44 granite posts, and these posts are all set on a large burgundy granite base holding the golden glazed double-eaved roof. Mao's body lies in repose in a crystal casket or cabinet, draped in a red flag, emblazoned with a hammer and a sickle. And as we made our way through this memorial, I was told by a person familiar with the Chinese language that a sign in the memorial hall by the crystal casket read, "Chairman Mao reigns eternal." Church, how can a dead man laying in repose reign eternal? You see, it is God who is self-existent. It is God who is eternal. No, Chairman Mao doesn't reign eternal. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that overcomes death. And on April 12th, we will be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus that overcomes death. Now, we may not celebrate Easter as we normally do or in the manner that we prefer this year, but just because the celebration may look different, the truth is the same. God is self-existent. Jesus, in John chapter 11, said to the woman, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And if everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." What do you believe about Jesus? Is he the self-existent eternal God, and have you trusted in him? So Jehovah, the one who is his self-existence, had made this promise to us, and he can deliver that promise for us because he is the strongest of strong ones and he is eternal God. Perhaps the clearest teaching on the self-existence of God is found in God's call to Moses to deliver the nation of Israel out of the hands of the Pharaoh of Egypt. Exodus 3:13 through 14 says this, "Then Moses said to God, 'Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, The God of your father has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them?' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you will say to the sons of Israel, I am, has sent me to you.'" Now let me see if I can try to explain to you what it means when I say that God is self-existent and what it means when God says, "I am." Imagine sitting at a desk where there's a very huge book. And in the book is written everything that has happened through eternity past. Everything that has happened through eternity past. Okay, it's a big book, I admit that. And then also think about in this book is contained everything written about what is happening in current and real time today. And then one more thing. In this book is written every future event that will happen throughout eternity future. So you got the picture? In this book is eternity past. In this book is everything currently happening. And in this book is everything dealing with eternity future. Now, I challenge you, take your finger and go to any place in this book in eternity past, in the present, or eternity future, and put your finger on some spot on one page in that book. Now, as you lift up your finger and you look underneath your finger, what you will find is the self-existent presence of I am. God is self-existent from eternity past to eternity future. And no matter where you go in that book, you know what you find? The presence of God. That is mind-boggling. That is amazing. God is independent of our time and our space. So where something is, the great I am is there. Self-existent, self-sustaining, in need of nothing, Jehovah Yahweh. So we should not then be surprised when we are challenged in our finite minds by God and say, Isaiah 40:18, "To whom will you then liken God? Or what likeness will you compare him with?" I mean, can you compare God's self-existence, God's eternal existence, God's omnipresence to anything that we know upon this earth? There is nothing comparable to God. Our minds cannot even comprehend that thought. Isaiah 40:25 says, "To him then will you liken me that I would be his equal, says the Holy One." Is there anything or any other thing on this earth that we can say equals what the term Jehovah describes to us about God? There is nothing that can even come close to being a representative of what God is. Therefore, beloved, if I am has called you and sent you out on a journey or called you to minister for his kingdom in some way as he did with Moses, should you not follow it? If I am has spoken to your heart and led you in a direction, my advice to you is that Jehovah Yahweh, that he's reliable and he's big enough and he's self-existent enough, and he's eternal enough that you can trust his leadership in your life, even if you are going to face the mighty Pharaoh of Egypt. God will be with you in that journey. Now, as I considered this exhortation to you, a couple other Old Testament thoughts came to mind. Joshua 1, 8 and 9 says this, "This is the book of the law. It shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you." Now, I realize Joshua 1, 8, and 9 is part of God's challenge to Joshua as he assumes control of the nation of Israel at the death of Moses. I also recognize that Deuteronomy 31, 6 is Moses' exhortation to the nation of Israel that would be going into the promised land under Joshua's leadership. And so the reason for the call to strength and courage was because God had made a promise that he would go before the nation and take them into the promised land. And the power that Jehovah Yahweh was going to be exercising in the terms of taking the promised land would be the power of Elohim. Now, this is a transferable concept to us here in the New Testament church. You see, Jehovah Yahweh, the self-existent, eternal God, is the Elohim, the one of highest strength. This is the same God we serve today in the New Testament church. Sometimes in our New Testament journey, we may find that there is a Pharaoh in the land who is standing in the path to accomplishing God's will. But yet God calls us to go ahead and go before Pharaoh. And going before Pharaoh may seem like a scary thing. And the journey may seem like it's going to be very long. But the eternal, self-existent one will sustain you. Indeed, Moses did face some challenges from Pharaoh, didn't he? It wasn't an easy battle. Moses even faced some difficulties with the people from the nation of Israel, if you can imagine. However, God's promise to Moses wasn't that it would be easy. God's promise to Moses was that God would be with him, and that he would guide him, and that he would direct him, and that he would use him to accomplish the will of God. So perhaps today you're facing some challenge in your life, and it feels like there's a Pharaoh in the land who is pretty powerful, big, and strong. Well, you have Elohim on your side, and you have the self-existent, holy God to walk with you. So let me close with this thought today on Jehovah, who is Elohim. In all the power and immenseness that God possesses, we find in the heart of God an unconditional love and an unconditional forgiveness. Throughout the scenario of God's selection of the nation of Israel to be the chosen people of God, what we found after God chose the nation of Israel was that the nation of Israel was perfect. They were a people who were completely obedient to God, single-minded in their personal and corporate worship of God, right? They did it right all the time. Okay, we know that that's not the case. God, though, in his mercy and grace, partnered with humanity of sinners to accomplish his will to do his work. Nothing I say in the next few moments is intended to give license to sin or to justify wrong behavior or to justify bad attitudes or wrong conduct. The things that I want to say at this point is this: to solely help sinners who love God, who have sinned and repented I want them to understand that though they have erred in decisions they have made and they have walked contrary to will of God, Jehovah Elohim still loves them, and he will use them as imperfect people to continue to accomplish his perfect will. Here is what I mean. God, the self-existent one, holy and all-powerful, used sinners to accomplish his will. You remember Abraham? He went down into Egypt and he lied to Abimelech. Yet Jehovah Elohim forgave him and made Abraham the father of many nations. Isaac repeated the sin of his father Abraham and went down to Gerar and called Rebekah his sister. Yet Elohim, Jehovah, forgave him and used him as a patriarch of the nation of Israel. Jacob lied to his blind father and deceived him concerning the birthright. But God forgave him and used him to establish his covenant in the nation of Israel. God said to Moses, "Tell my people that the Jehovah Elohim of your father, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob has sent me to you." Imperfect people used to accomplish the perfect will of God. Indeed, Jehovah's relationship to Israel is an eternal one. And for those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, our relationship to God is an eternal one. We serve the same God of the Old Testament. Today, I want to encourage you to walk well with Jesus. And if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, this would be a good time not only to invite him into your life as your Savior to rescue you for all of eternity, but also to be able to walk with Elohim, Jehovah, through this difficult day with Jesus being your shepherd. Let's pray. Father, you are a great God, and we are grateful to you for your self-existence and what that means to us and the hope that it brings to our eternity. We thank you, God, that in the greatness of your power, that there is also a greatness of love and compassion and kindness. We ask our Father that as we maneuver through this week, that we would be mindful of those words from Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And though we may feel like we're walking through the valley of death, we can walk through it fearing no evil because we know you. We know that you are our shepherd and your staff and your rod comfort us. We would ask our Father that we would be able to end this difficult day of testing, that we might not cower back in fear, but we might stand in boldness of faith, and that we would be those who would also be able to share that faith with others, and that they would see in us a hope during a desperate time because we have a great God. Thank you, Lord, for your truth and for this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.